Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons. An off day on Monday, but still so much to discuss on today's show from top prospects. Just absolutely scorching hot right now. Some transactions. How about an extension for a certain member of the Colorado Rockies? There's been a couple of those deals handed out in the last few weeks. The All-Star game at Wrigley Field, it's right around the corner, and it looks like it's going to be crazy. And of course, previewing the Houston Astros series starting today. But let's get things started with Charlie Condon. I mean, this young man has been incredible since he was promoted to the AA Hartford Yard Goats on July 2nd. Since then, he ranks second in the league in RBI, 29, fourth in total bases, tied for fourth in homers with 8, and tied for sixth in extra base hits. He now has 4 homers in his last 3 games from Thursday through Saturday. He has an on-base streak of 21 games, which is the second longest this season for the Yard Goats after Cal Karros's 33-game streak from April to June. He's been really, really good, and the power has been there. The thing that was the most concerning with that injury, not exactly the slow start from last year or this year, it was just the fact that we might not be able to see his full power potential until next season, which, not his fault, not the Rockies' fault. He just suffered an injury during a spring training game on one of the backfields, diving for a bull, which is what you do. It's part of getting ready for the season. A lot of people were critical of Brendan Rodgers a few years ago, and I'll mention him here in just a moment, as we do have the Astros series coming up this week. But Rodgers hurt himself diving for a ball. Isn't he going to be diving for baseballs during the regular season? Yeah. Doesn't he need to be ready for that, to know how to make those certain movements, test his body out to make sure that he is capable of what he should be capable of doing? And if not, there's some bigger problems there. And yeah, he got hurt. It's going to happen in a spring training game. And obviously, if you're a frustrated Rockies fan, or you're a frustrated baseball fan in general, you want to dunk on the Rockies, then go ahead and do that. But that happens. It happens in baseball. So it's good to see Charlie Condon having this success almost immediately, because, you know, during spring training, he gave an interview, and, you know, listening to him, looking at him, and, you know, his body language was fine, but there was, I don't know, he was looking disheveled. It was almost like he was really taking it far too much to heart, that rough time that he had at the end of last year in his first taste of pro ball. And coupled with the injury and seeing how many other players from last year's draft, from Jack Caglione to Nick Kurtz, immediately come up, debut, make an impact. And for him at 22 years old, you know, for a while, just being stuck in high A. And then, okay, now in July, the calendar turns. He's doing some things in double A with Jared Thomas. And so it's nice that he is having this kind of success and staying on most top 100 lists. I know MLB Pipeline still has him at number 60. I think he might have fallen off some other ones, but I could see him popping back on. So that's really important for him to have the success. And, you know, we saw it on Sunday. McCade Brown getting a promotion to the majors after being at AA Hartford. Once you are in AA, you are on the precipice of making your debut. I still don't think that Condon is going to debut in September. I think there's a chance. There is a chance. But I don't know how much sense it makes for him to have his, I don't want to say his clock started, because service time manipulation just isn't really a thing anymore. I know it gets discussed a lot. And I think, you know, there might be a couple teams and a couple instances with that kind of manipulation, but it's rare. There's no benefit. You know, teams are now rewarded for putting prospects on the opening day roster, or even on the roster within the first 2 weeks of the season, because then if that player wins Rookie of the Year, then you can go ahead and claim a compensation draft pick. So service time manipulation just isn't what it used to be or what it was in the past, because there was a time in which when you had a player for six seasons, you had that player. We had him for seven, probably, if you waited to call him up. Like, go look at what the Cubs did. Chris Bryant was ready to go immediately in 2015. They optioned him down, and that gave the Cubs a seventh year of team control, because if you don't have 6 years of service time, you can't be a free agent. If you are one day shy of 6 years, you still have to play with that team. Those are just the rules, unfortunately. So we once lived in a timeline where when you had a guy on your team, they were not free agents until that, you know, after that sixth or seventh year. And now you're lucky if you can get 3 or 4 years out of a player before you cut this player loose, because there's another player with similar qualities and abilities that can be had a little bit cheaper. Because, you know, you look at Brendan Rodgers, where, you know, he was fine last year, and, you know, it'd been a couple years since he was coming off that prime season. But even still, he would have been getting paid in his final year of service time. He would have been getting paid for what he did earlier on in his career. And he really wasn't posting numbers like that anymore. So why pay a player for the past when there are other players of similar quality available as free agents? Now, of course, the whole issue with that point is you can say, well, isn't that true of all free agents, that, you know, that they were really good in the past? And are you paying for that? No, what you're doing is you're paying a premium for a player who has a certain set of skills that just isn't available on the market anymore. And so that's why big name players and superstars, even if they are in their waning point of their career, will still get paid, because that player with three quarters of the talents that they used to have is still that much more than a league average player. But if you're a league average player like a Brendan Rodgers, there's a lot of other guys at your skill level that can be acquired for the same amount of money or less. And that's one of the reasons why I don't think we'll see Condon debut before this season is out, because it's not about his clock starting. It's the simple fact that you have him debut in a season in which we can all agree this season is just a lost one. There's nothing you can necessarily do right now that's going to help you win more games next year. Maybe it can help you win a couple more games next year. Sure, we can debate that. But make an impact going forward the next time you're going to be relevant, like in 2-3 years. So by not debuting Condon, what you're doing is giving yourself a little bit more wiggle room. It's only one spot on the 40-man roster, but it's one extra spot on the 40-man roster that you do have, because you don't have Charlie Condon taking that place on the 40-man roster. If he's going to be on your opening day roster, if he's going to start on opening day of 2026, great. He can still do that. You just add him in March before the season starts and kick somebody off that didn't get the job done. But if he's taking that spot now, then that means you have only 39 spots this offseason to protect young players from the Rule 5 draft. So there's logistics involved in that, of course. I neglected to mention, on Sunday, we did have the transaction that allowed McCade Brown to make his debut. Lucas Gilbreth went back to AAA after that one outing. And then to create room on the 40-man roster, Dugan Darnell went from the 15-day IL to the 60-day IL. So you have the start of one MLB career coinciding with the end of another player's season. Bummer that Darnell wasn't able to build more on what he was already able to show this year. Really impressive stuff. I think, you know, despite the fact he was a player signed out of independent ball and a guy who's already 28 years old and only just made his debut, and you'd say, I don't know, how much value is there? He's 28. So, I mean, he's sort of a Jimmy Herget 2.0, where he's just a younger version, where it took him a while to get to the majors, but he's got more of a veteran mindset. 3.86 ERA in his 9 outings. He did finish 4 games, did end up coming away with a win. You know, with 11 2/3 innings pitch, how much do you want to make of his 0.3 wins above replacement? But hey, That's around league average. In fact, it's slightly above league average. So you can use a guy like that. You could also potentially slide him through waivers if you do need that spot on the 40 man, but I don't know that it's going to come with that, come to that for Dugan Darnell. I think he could be a name that Colorado is relying upon. And look, I've already mentioned opening day rosters already. I'm thinking about next year, if you couldn't tell. I think Dugan Darnell, if he can rebound from this, I think he'll be fine. Zach Wheeler, you really hope, is going to be fine. You might have heard over the weekend, he is done for the season with the thoracic outlet syndrome that he has. Is also going to need to get a rib remove, which is crazy. He's going to need about 6 to 8 months to recover. So sad. And, you know, this procedure is riskier than Tommy John surgery. And the return rate from thoracic outlet syndrome is not as good as it is, you know, even for Tommy John surgery. Scott Oberg was someone who suffered with this. I mean, the same thing with blood clotting with Lucas Gilbert. He had to deal with that. Has a nasty little scar on his neck from it. Glad that he was able to come back, make a season debut and make an impact on the big league roster, even though it was a short one. Hey, he made it back after, you know, what could have been a career-ending injury. And Merrill Kelly is also a guy too that was able to come back. He was dealing with that in 2020 in the middle of a pandemic, as crazy as that is. So Zach Wheeler, you hate to see that. Phillies are going to be all right. They're going to push forward, but Zach Wheeler, I hope that he is okay. A guy that, you know, pushing for the Hall of Fame, that's just irrelevant right now. A late bloomer, was doing some really big things. Highest paid pitcher in baseball right now. Look it up. He's paid more than any other pitcher in baseball this year. I think he might still have 2 more years on his deal. Hopefully he can recover and put up some more great campaigns. Dude is a big time competitor. So you don't want to see that one bit. All right. Orioles lock up their top catching prospect. Soon after the Red Sox locked up 21-year-old Roman Anthony, Sammy Basayo, catcher, signs an 8-year deal that guarantees him $67 million with a club option in 2034. That's a made-up year. No one's going to be alive to see that, right? 2034? Get out of here. But it could max out to $88.5 million. Not bad for a guy who just had his 21st birthday. And you look at that and you say, man, this guy is a top prospect and, you know, could be just an impact catcher. Why would he only sign for that much and give up some free agent years? Because nothing is guaranteed. Absolutely nothing is guaranteed. As much of a discount as it might seem for the Rockies to have with Ezekiel Tovar and his extension, if he gets hurt and, you know, doesn't play a ton or just gets hurt and never really is able to produce more than what he was able to do last season, you're going to look and say, you know, was he worth that? And in fact, could you have, you know, saved some of that money and given it to somebody else at a certain point and just cut bait and said, man, this guy can't stay healthy, whatever it is. Sure, that's the risk of it. You're giving someone guaranteed money. But when you're going year to year, which all players are, unless they sign a long-term deal, but when you're going year to year, and you're going through the arbitration process, you can cut bait at a certain point and you don't lose out on any money. Again, goes back to Brendan Rodgers. Final year of arbitration, he was non-tendered. Rockies didn't have to pay him a dime. If they had signed him to an extension or even just a guaranteed deal, if they wanted to cut him, they just would have lost out on all that money. Or they wouldn't have cut him and not left second base open to see a little bit more of Adel Amador. And now the great strides that Ryan Ritter has been able to make. So you do lose some flexibility with these long-term extensions, but if you know a player well enough and you like what they're able to do and you see that they are going to have a ton of success, like Samuel Basayo with great bat-to-ball skills, like dude doesn't strike out a ton, you're going to put your money where your mouth is and say, hey, no, we're going to save a lot of money on an extension like this. And that's what the Orioles have done with Basayo. That's what the Red Sox have done with 21-year-old Roman Anthony. And then when it comes to the Rockies, they've extended Ezekiel Tovar. That's it. That's it. The only player I think anyone right now would be thinking about locking up to an extension is Hunter Goodman. Now, the reason you wouldn't say that about anyone else is because of what I just outlined. It's guaranteed money. Players are not guaranteed their first, second, or third year in arbitration. They're not guaranteed that. It's only when they get to that point do the two sides sit down and say, hey, do we agree that this is what I should be paid this year? Yes? Cool. We can go forward. But you have to get to that year. And there's no way of knowing that even someone like a Chase Dolander is going to get there. If he was having more success, you might feel a little bit better about having a conversation like that. But even still, are you not sure that he's going to miss 2 years with Tommy John surgery? And if a young pitcher like him misses 2 years of Tommy John surgery, well, guess what that means for him in arbitration? He's going to make less money because he hasn't been pitching. So now his contract really won't be that exorbitant because he hasn't played a ton because he's had Tommy John surgery. But if you give him that extension, he's getting free money right there, and you're not exactly saving anything. So it has to be a win-win for both sides. You know, this time last year, we were talking about Tovar and Doyle and maybe Tolia. And you look and go, all right, yeah, I guess Tovar was the one guy. He was the right guy. You don't want to rush into anything else. Mickey Moniak, 27 years old. He'll still have two more years of club control. Usually by that point, you need to give a player a long-term extension. You're not just going to buy out 1 year of free agency. Or you're going to move on, trade that guy. Rockies did that ahead of 2022 when they decided to extend Ryan McMahon, Kyle Freeland, and Antonio Senzatella. They were all 2 years away from free agency. And they had one other guy that was over the four-year service time mark and still had 2 years of club control. And that was Raimel Tapia. And the decision that they made at that point was, let's trade him. And they did for Randall Grichuk. They also gave up a prospect that, you know, although he's got good numbers in the minors, I don't think it's really making the Rockies sweat that much that they had to include Adrian Pinto. So Moniak will be in his fourth year of service time next year. You're not going to sit down and sign a long-term deal with him. And he's not going to want a three-year deal. He's going to want something much longer than that. So that doesn't make sense. Tyler Freeman, he'll have 3 years of service time for next year. So that's a maybe, but are you sure that Tyler Freeman is going to continue to be Tyler Freeman? And even still, what is Tyler Freeman's value? What does he actually bring to the table? And you love the contact, you love what he was able to do and kind of change the fortunes just a little bit of this team in terms of the swing and misses. And okay, that's helped out in a lot of rallies. You certainly can see that. But there are a lot of other players out there in the baseball world that can provide that same offense that just, I'm providing contact. I'm putting that ball in play. You can find players like that. So why are you going to pay him more or guarantee him a certain amount of money when it's not clear he'll be able to produce that next year? So as good as you feel about what Tyler Freeman has been able to do and, you know, has he come back down to earth? Maybe a little bit. He's batting .288 right now. .363 on base. Nice. But a .384 slugging percentage for a guy who's playing corner outfield and, you know, is still new to right field. So the defensive issues that he's had and the defensive metrics that don't really like him very well, you understand that. But according to wins above replacement, he's a negative 0.8. So he's almost negative one win above replacement, above a typical AAA right fielder. Mickey Moniak, negative 0.9. So these are not players that you would want to sign to a long-term extension. Doyle, you still have the same questions this year as you did last year, so you might just have to wait and see. And you can still wait because you still have him under control for four more years after this season. So you'll have him under control for four more years. You can still negotiate a deal like this at some point middle of next season if he's tearing the cover off the ball or next offseason and say, no, we do think this is going to be a guy that not only do we want around, but is going to be a part of our next contender. okay, you could see that. Jordan Beck is very interesting. We're still seeing his growth. I think he deserves to be in that conversation. Everyone else, I think you still just have those questions about. So Jordan Beck, you know, really should be a part of this list, but I think because, you know, he's only just passed 1 year of service time, it might be a little early for him. But with Hunter Goodman, let's look at his case for signing him to an extension in the midst of an absolute breakout year. You have to consider how things have worked out this year for Brenton Doyle. And unfortunately, we know there's some off-the-field stuff, so it's not his fault in any way. It's almost never a player's fault because they want to do their best. They always do want to do their best. So that's not even a part of this entirely. But look at how things can change pretty quickly in a year. You know, that's something that should give the Rockies some pause in terms of extending Hunter Goodman. Now, Goodman is a year and a half younger than what Doyle was at this time last year. So they're actually only a year apart in baseball age. Doyle was in his age 26 season last year. Goodman, age 25 season this year. And the thing I keep coming back to is, do you have questions or concerns about Goody? You should. Can he stay a viable catcher? Because if he can't, how much value does he lose as a first baseman or DH or corner outfielder? And the answer is a lot. A lot. So his value is as a catcher, and it's tied to the position. And if it's a position that it's not clear that he can stick at, now that raises some doubts. That doesn't mean all of a sudden he's a bad player. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you want to extend a player because he is of that special breed that you want to keep around and you want to give him guaranteed money and not just go year to year, not that there's anything wrong with that, there has to be some specialness to that player. There has to be some certainty. Certainty is the key word, and there's not certainty right now with Hunter Goodman. So because of that, an extension for him, I just don't think is in the cards. Wrigley Field All-Star Game 2027. I'm not sure if you saw this, but if you want to go to the All-Star Game in Wrigley and you want guaranteed tickets to every event during the All-Star Game week, you will need to sign up for, you sitting down, 3 years of season tickets. I'm not kidding. Yes. If you're talking like a half season or a combo plan, I think that might also be for 3 years, but a half season or a combo plan, you're going to get either the All-Star Game or the Derby, but 3 years of season tickets in a not-so-cheap city like Chicago to be able to, you know, go to the All-Star Game, not worry about getting tickets or worry about scalping and, you know, worry about where your seats are going to be. Although, granted, your All-Star Game seats will not be where your season ticket seats are, but still. That's a major, major commitment. And I sort of wonder if Dick Monfort, primary owner of the Rockies, looks back on his decision to host the All-Star Game on short notice in 2021 as a mistake. Now, credit to the organization for pulling it all together. Incredible. But were they able to maximize the most value for their once in every 30-year spectacle? No, they weren't. In fact, I'd wager it might have been the least profitable of all of any All-Star games in a while. I have no data to back that up. I'm just using logic of, hey, it was the pandemic times, which is not the Rockies' fault. We know that. But it's a reality of a financial situation. There was just less travel to be a part of such an event. You know, there's minimal anticipation to play off of, which means, you know, you could have crafted some special ticket plans, season ticket plans, combo, half season plans that would have allowed them to maximize the amount of money that they brought in. And, you know, they did a great job, no doubt about it. But if you can get 2 to 3 years of buildup versus what you did get, because I'm sure they did get some new season ticket plans out of the deal, no doubt. But you're going to get a lot more out of an event if you've got 2 or 3 years to build up to it. And plus, there wasn't a ton of All-Star Game merch available. I can't even remember that off season. Maybe it was even the end of the year going, shoot, I should have brought one of those, bought one of those. It was the All-Star Game logo. And I think it maybe had 5280 or something on it. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. Nope, couldn't find it anywhere. There was a supply chain issue, right? And I just don't think there was a ton of that kind of merchandise that was made available. So again, that's not the Rockies organization's fault. But when you make a decision to be a hero like that, and look, I think the pandemic hurt the Rockies a lot, and it hurt a lot of teams. It did. It hurt a lot of teams. And so I think the Rockies saw hosting the All-Star Game as a life raft for them, which it was. But now that is a life raft that is gone for a while. And you look at what the Cubs are going to get with their All-Star Game, and boy, oh boy, it's going to bring in a lot of money. Houston Astros, three games. How are they still doing it? It's incredible. Absolutely impressive what this team has been able to do. Once again, Christian Walker finding it out after a really slow start. He's just been so much better. But the Astros there, once again, at the top of the American League West. Mariners right on their tails, two games behind. And so even if the Mariners do catch the Astros, there won't be an issue with Houston getting the postseason. Probably not, because the Mariners are tied for the final wild card spot. Royals three games behind them. Rangers 4.5 as of Monday. So, you know, they are an impressive organization that continues to find ways to win, continues to find players to fit into their program. And if you want to look on the IL, they've got 13 players on the injured list. So when the Rockies complain about injuries derailing their plans, just please stop. They should stop. Now, granted, Warren Schaefer is not making these complaints. No. And no one's really making the complaints, but they're pointing it out maybe more than they should at times. And I'm typically referring to the front office. Rockies have 7 right now. So everybody deals with injuries. Everybody does. And yeah, an injury earlier on in the season when you've got certain plans can sort of, you know, derail those plans in a much more major way. Like, hey, we never were able to build a certain amount of momentum. We wouldn't have been able to keep it all season long, but we would have had some kind of momentum to take us into that first station, whether it's the quarter post, right? Whether it's Memorial Day, whether it's the All-Star break. Like, oh, we would have had that momentum, but because so-and-so was out, we just weren't able to have that momentum. Well, look, when you're not a very good team with a good roster and you have your organizational issues, sure, Tyro Estrada not getting hurt certainly would have allowed the Rockies a lot more momentum. We wouldn't have been talking about them as having the potential for losing 122 games in a season. We would have said, like, oh man, they're worse than they were the last 2 years, and they might lose 110 games, and maybe, sounds crazy, they're going to lose 115. So yeah, it would have been a much better start, but would the end game or the end point in their win-loss record have been the same? Yeah, it still would have been the same. Now, Tyro Estrada is healthy all year. Okay, maybe that's a couple more wins, but even if you just flip it, because you know injuries are going to happen, and you say, well, the injuries come early versus late. Okay, even if they were to come late, you play a little bit better early on. You're not beaten down so badly. You're not getting all those negative headlines, but you're still this team. You're still this roster. You're still going to be really bad. This three-game set is going to see some really good pitchers here from the Astros. Hunter Brown against Tanner Gordon on Tuesday. Framber Valdez versus Chase Dolander. And then Jason Alexander. Yes. Against Antonio Senzatella. That one should be an interesting one on Thursday. First two games in Houston, 6-10. The Thursday game, Houston sometimes will have a night game as the getaway day, but no, not the case. 12-10 afternoon time for that Thursday contest at Daikin Park. Yep, get used to hearing that a bunch over the next 3 days, no longer Minute Maid Park. And then the Rockies are back for Labor Day weekend, 3 against the Cubs, and some good giveaways. The City Connect beach towel, and then a sort of cheap looking, but maybe it'll be cool. We'll see. on the 30th, basketball jersey for the 6-10 start against the Cubs. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. Come mess with me over on YouTube, the Rockies Insider channel. Appreciate it if you drop by and leave a comment or a review. Those things mean a lot more than you realize. They help in the algorithm, but it also keeps me going. It also gives me momentum, believe it or not. But as good as that momentum can be by you downloading this, leaving a review, or leaving a comment, as good as that momentum can be, that momentum can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.